Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
What am I holding here in my hand? Yeah, a tube of toothpaste, okay? So if I squeeze it, what's going to come out? Toothpaste, yes. If I squeeze it, dishwashing liquid will not come out. Moisturizing cream will not come out. Sunscreen will not come out. I needed that this past week in Florida. But whatever is inside, when you squeeze it, that is what comes out. And this morning, in your notes, if you're taking notes, they're on the back of your worship program that you received when you walked in. They're also at the YouVersion Bible app. If you have YouVersion, you can go to their events page, look for events near me, and then you can go ahead and find our notes. But in your notes, it says, when you are squeezed, what comes out? When we are squeezed by the pressures of life, what comes out? Does joy, peace, faith, love, patience, and hope come out? Or does anger, bitterness and resentment, despair, discouragement, hopelessness, doubt, is that what comes out when we're squeezed by the pressures of life? We are squeezed in many ways by many things. You can be squeezed at work, by work situations. You can be squeezed at school, by homework, or maybe by a teacher who doesn't like you. Maybe you're squeezed by classmates that don't like you. They have it out for you. We can be squeezed by so many things. We can be squeezed by financial difficulty. We can be squeezed by a bad medical report. There are several things in life that squeeze us, and when we are squeezed by the pressures of life, what comes out? In your notes this morning, what was meant to break you, God intends for it to make you. You see, a lot of times when we feel squeezed with the pressures of life, it feels like we're breaking. It feels like maybe God has it out for us, or the world has it out for us. We feel like it's going to break us, but what is meant to break you, God intends to make you. God is working in each one of us. And I just want to say, welcome to everyone who is here, those who are live, those who are online, our online family. Thank you for being with us. I just want to remind our online family that next Sunday, November 13th, we're starting our new online campus host ministry, where our hosts will be there moderating and just engaging in conversation with you and just making our online experience just more just better and hopefully more supportive and encouraging to you. So you can make plans for that next week. Be praying for our online hosts as they do that. But as this morning, we want to talk about pressure. I want you to open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, we're going to look at the story of the woman who had a demon-possessed daughter. That's what we're going to look at. And this lady, she was squeezed by the pressures of life. In your notes, and this is just kind of a paragraph that kind of summarizes what was taking place, because honestly, this is one of the most difficult passages of Scripture. When we look at it, it's kind of confusing, because it looks like Jesus is being mean to this lady. And we know that God is love and God is kind. He loves all people. So why was he treating this lady this way? In your notes, the story of the woman with the demon-possessed daughter is squeezed between the feeding of the 5,000, which is in Matthew chapter 14. And by the way, the 5,000, they were primarily Jews. They were primarily people of Israel. And it's squeezed between the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000, which is at the end of Matthew 15. And the 4,000, they were primarily Gentiles. And so through the encounter with this Gentile mother, Jesus is preparing the disciples to feed the Gentiles. The Jews saw Gentiles as being unclean. They would not eat with them. You see this later on when Paul addresses Peter in one of the epistles, and he says, I had to confront Peter because Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles. He thought it would make him unclean. And so the Jews would not have anything to do with the Gentiles. They wouldn't eat with them. They wouldn't feed them. Jesus is preparing his disciples to not just feed the Jews, but to feed the Gentiles. It goes on to say there, this lady was instrumental in changing their paradigm, that God was accepting and wanting not just the Jews, but he wanted relationship with the Gentiles. But for this lady to be used of God, she had to undergo pressure. She had to undergo pressure. I want to pray for us. Father God, I pray today that as we look at the types of pressure we face in our lives, that you would help us to have resilience, faith, and grace to trust you in the midst of our pressure, that you're trying to make us and not break us. Be with every person and give hope and encouragement now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. When life squeezes us, what comes out? What comes out? I want to look at four types of pressure that we see in this story of Matthew chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 21. The first type of pressure is the pressure of silence. The pressure of silence. In verse 21, it says, Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. This was a Gentile area. Gentiles lived there. The Jews did not live there. By the way, a Gentile is anyone who was not Jewish. And it says in verse 22, behold, a woman of Canaan. So this lady is not a Jew. She's a Gentile. She came from that region and cried out to Jesus, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. What does Jesus do? Verse 23, but he answered her not a word. He was silent. He kept quiet. He said nothing. This lady is desperate. Her daughter is being tormented by a demon, harmed, trying to be killed. She is praying. She wants help. And she says, Jesus, help me. And Jesus says, absolutely nothing. Have you ever felt like that? You've been praying to God, asking for an answer, asking for help, and you feel that it's just silence. It's quiet. You hear nothing. And you're saying, God, where are you? God, don't you care? God, why won't you help me? That's this lady, and Jesus was silent. I've experienced times of silence in my life. One was my freshman year in college. We went to chapel every day, and in chapel, I would respond to altar calls seeking God, but God seemed a million miles away. I prayed. I read my Bible. I felt like my prayers were hitting the ceiling and bouncing back. I felt like reading the Bible, I was getting no spiritual food. I was getting no spiritual strength or encouragement. I got as much just reading the newspaper. It was a real dry time. God was silent. When I've shared before how we spent our first 4 years in ministry being youth pastors in Utah, Salt Lake City, Utah. I know God spoke to me and said, Craig, you're finished here. At the end of the summer, you're done. We left, and our stuff moved in with my parents in their basement, Rebecca and I, and our firstborn, who was only about a year and a half at the time, Aaron, she moved in with Rebecca's mom and dad into their basement. And for the next 5 months, it was a very quiet time. I am praying, calling out to God, and he just seemed to withdraw and shrink back. I have been in times of silence, and I can tell you this, when I have gone through times of silence, many times those were times that God was deepening my faith. When I came out the other side, my faith in God was stronger. I was more convinced about whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. I came through with a stronger faith. Many times God is silent because in that silence we drill down deeper in prayer, and the deeper we drill down, the deeper our root system gets. And so now when we come out of it, we realize my root system that was once up here is now down here, and I have a stronger faith in God. Sometimes God is silent because he's making us wait so that we will hear him. In your notes, God is sometimes silent. He makes us wait to get us to hear. Jonah is a great example of that. In Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and it said, "Arise and go to Nineveh." Now, Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian nation. Assyria had attacked Israel. They had carried off many of the tribes, the 10 tribes of the northern kingdom, and Jonah was bitter. He did not want to go to Nineveh. He did not want them to repent. He wanted them to be in judgment and to go to hell. And so Jonah says, "God, no." He gets on a boat, and he begins to sail west in the opposite direction from Nineveh. And as they're on this boat, there's a great storm. The men get together. They find out that Jonah is running from God. Jonah says, "You got to throw me overboard." So they throw him overboard, and God prepared a great fish for Jonah. And that fish swallows him up. And what's interesting, when you take a look at chapter 2, verse 1, now Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. And that goes on there, and Jonah is just kind of pouring out his heart. But God doesn't speak to Jonah. In fact, there's only one thing that God spoke to. Chapter 2, verse 10, it says, God speaks to the fish to vomit Jonah onto dry land. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Isn't that your answer to prayer, to be vomited out by the fish? But now in chapter 3, verse 1, God speaks to Jonah. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. You see, God was silent for 3 days so that when the fish vomited Jonah out, when God spoke, now Jonah would listen. Jonah would hear him. And maybe you're going through a time of silence. Maybe it's because God's trying to get your attention, but he knows you won't hear him unless you go through that time of silence. Maybe God is trying to deepen your faith. And he knows that the only way you can deepen it is if you press in and dig deeper roots. And that only happens when you feel you're not hearing anything from God. You can trust God when you're being squeezed by the pressure of silence. When you feel like God is not answering you. When you feel like God doesn't care. And just so you realize, this is not an uncommon experience. David, a man after God's own heart, felt like God was being silent. Psalm 109, verse 1, it says, David says, "Do not keep silent, O God of my praise." David felt God was silent. He's saying, "God, you've been silent long enough. Don't stay that way. And I'm going to praise you." He kept praising God. He kept seeking God in the midst of silence. Your silence does not mean God doesn't like you. It doesn't mean God has turned his back on you. God is still there, and he will eventually hear. The word we heard this morning, it talked about that God hears us. God responds to us. He doesn't always do it on our timetable or in the fashion that we want him to, but you can trust that if God is being silent, he's trying to make something out of you. He's not trying to break you. So if you're experiencing silence today, my prayer is that you would respond as you're being squeezed. You'd respond with faith. You'd respond with grace. You'd respond with hope that God is still with you. Okay, that is the first pressure this woman faced, was the pressure of silence. The second pressure she faced was the pressure of conflict. The pressure of conflict. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 23, Jesus' disciples came and they urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries out after us." The disciples, they didn't care about this woman. They didn't care that her daughter was demon-oppressed, that she was being harmed, that she was maybe even trying to be killed. They didn't care. They were in opposition to her. And there may be some of you, you feel like there are people who are in opposition to you. Maybe there is a boss, a manager at work that just seems to have it out for you. You can never do anything right. Or maybe there's a coworker who just seems to be jealous of you. You don't know why, but for some reason, they hate you. Maybe there's a classmate who doesn't like you. Maybe there's a group of bullies. Maybe there's a coach who's not giving you playing time. Maybe there's a teacher that nitpicks and finds fault with everything you submit, everything you write, everything you turn in. There are times we face opposition in life. And what happens, a lot of times we say, oh God, please change them. How many have ever prayed for God to change someone? God, help them to be better. God, move them out. God, fire them. God, replace them. God, change their heart. You know what happens a lot of times? What happens when we pray for God to change someone? They stay the same, and God changes us. You see, and that's really the purpose of the prayer, because God is trying to make something out of us, and He's not trying to break us. And so you can trust God when you experience conflict at work, in the home, at school, in church, wherever it might be. You can trust God with the pressure of conflict. Sometimes the conflict isn't with people. Sometimes it is a bad medical report. Sometimes it's mounting financial bills. And it seems like God is against you and you're saying, God, why can't I catch a break? It seems like just as soon as something starts going right, then something else falls apart. And sometimes we feel like our conflict is with God or with kind of nature, with events around us, and we're just frustrated. We can become angry. We can become even bitter towards people or towards God when we face this pressure of conflict. When you're squeezed, in your notes this morning, when you're squeezed by conflict, let grace come out. As we look at this story of this woman further on, as we look at how she handles the rest of these pressures, we're going to see that grace comes out of her. Not disgust, not anger, not rebellion, not bitterness, but grace comes out of this woman. Let's take a look at the third kind of pressure this morning. The third pressure this lady experienced was the pressure of comparison. The pressure of comparison. We see this in verse 24. Jesus answered and said, I was not sent except to the lost sheep of Israel. In other words, because this lady was a Gentile, because she wasn't a Jew, Jesus said, I'm not going to help you. I'm not going to heal and deliver your daughter. I'm not going to have anything to do with you because you are not Jewish. She's being compared. And Jesus focused his ministry on the Israelites. What was the reason for that? Was it because he hated the Gentiles? No, that's not the reason. Because Jesus was trying to prepare God's people to be a light to the rest of the world. From the very start, when God selected Abraham to be the father of the Jews, God had a heart for the Gentiles. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God said to Abraham, he said, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families, every person, every ethnic. And when you take a look in Revelation chapter 14, verse 6, it says the gospel was to be proclaimed to everyone who lived on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. God loves the nations. And here's the thing. God set up Abraham because he was going to bless him as Abraham became a nation and they were given the commandments of God. As Israel followed the commands of God, they would receive blessing. God said, if you obey, you're going to be blessed. If you disobey, you're going to be cursed. And as God was blessing Israel for following him, the rest of the world is going to see, man, how does this little nation be so abundant? How are they so powerful? How are they so protected? How do they have so much? And they would realize it is their relationship with Jehovah God that is the reason. And as a result, the rest of the nations would say, we want what you have. We want a relationship with God. They would realize. And so Jesus, He came to the Jews. His ministry is to prepare his people who've had the law. They've had the covenant. They've had the prophets, so they could then take the message and give it to the world. And Jesus is focused most of his time on Israel, but we see different snapshots where he is touching the Gentiles to show that God is no respecter of person, that God so loved the world that he gave his son, not just the Jewish nation. And so God is using this lady to show the disciples that God accepts Gentiles. And what is her response? And here's the thing. Israel, they kind of thought, well, man, God blesses us. God does all these things for us because we're superior. We're better. Here's the thing. Your influence in the kingdom of God is not about making you better, making you stronger, making you superior and more important than other people. When God gives us influence in the kingdom, it's not to move us up, it's to move us out. It's to expand our influence to touch other people. And that's what God wanted the Jews, and they were missing it. They thought they were better. And in the midst of their prejudice, Jesus just says, yeah, I'm not going to the Gentiles. My ministry is to the lost sheep. This lady, when she finds that pressure, what does she do? Look at verse 25. She came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. When she is squeezed, faith comes out. She didn't turn around and walk away and says, well, that was no good. Thanks a lot, God. She wasn't disgusted. No, she says, Lord, help me. She has faith. She has grace. She's not railing at Jesus. She's not cussing him out, or you're a hypocrite, blah, blah. I mean, no, she's saying, Lord. She is acknowledging that he is God, and that's worship. She is responding with faith and grace. You know, sometimes we look at other people, and I've been guilty of this, and I see God, it seems like, God, you're answering their prayers. God, you're blessing them. God, you're providing for them. I don't feel you're doing that for me. How many have ever compared yourself to someone else, what God is doing for someone else? You say, man, God, I wish you'd do that for me. How many have ever done that? Yeah, I see a lot of hands out there. Okay, good. I'm not the only one, all right? You make me feel better. And that is easy for us to do. We look at what God is doing for everyone else, and then we get discouraged. And there are sometimes I see people, when they have this pressure of comparison, well, God, what good does it do to really pray? What good does it do to serve? What good does it do to minister, to give? Because I'm doing all these things and I'm not seeing results and others are. So God, I'm just giving up. When we respond with resentment, anger, frustration, bitterness, withdrawal, disgust, whatever it might be, if we're squeezed and that's what comes out, then that pressure is breaking us and not making us. We need to respond with faith and grace, just like this Gentile woman did. All right, let's take a look at the last pressure that we see that this lady faced, and that is the pressure of God's mysteries. The pressure of God's mysteries. How many like a good mystery? I love a good mystery, except when it pertains to me and I don't understand what's going on, huh? How many say, I hate it when I don't understand what's going on in my life? Yeah, we want to understand. But there are times we're not going to understand. And this is one of those situations here in Matthew 15, 26. Jesus answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Okay, was that a nice thing for Jesus to say? Do you realize he's calling her a dog? Yeah, he's calling her a dog. I mean, I don't know about you, but if Jesus calls me a dog, I mean, that doesn't make me feel, oh, my esteem is so much better now. You know, talk about your identity in Christ. You know, I'm a dog. He calls her a dog. And why did he call her a dog? It's kind of a mystery. Just a side note, there were two Greek words for dog. One was for a pet dog, and the other was for like a street dog, a scavenging dog that had no home. Jesus uses the word for a pet dog here, all right? Now, to me, that doesn't make it much better. He still called her a dog, all right? And this is kind of a mystery. I mean, why would Jesus call her a dog? The Jews, they called Gentiles dogs. They considered them as dogs or as wild animals. So Jesus is just using the language that she knew the Jews used for her. But that still doesn't answer the question. It's a mystery. And there's going to be times in life, maybe you feel like God's calling you a dog, where it doesn't make sense why God is allowing the things to happen to you that He is. And it's this pressure of a mystery where I don't understand God. God doesn't make sense. And we're tempted to let that pressure break us instead of make us. Instead of responding with faith and persistence and grace and patience and love, we might get resentful and bitter. We might get frustrated and angry. We might get discouraged and depressed and just give up completely. That's not what we need to do. Look at verse 27. Look what this lady does. She says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." Notice she says, "Yes, Lord." She doesn't say, "No, Lord," because here's the thing. Once you say no to God, He's not Lord anymore. You can't say no to God and still have Him be Lord of your life. And I just throw this out. Is there anything in your life God's speaking to you about and you're saying, "No, Lord"? That's an oxymoron. You can't say, "No, Lord." You have to say, "Yes, Lord." That's what this lady did. She is recognizing the sovereignty of God. She is recognizing God's authority in her life, and she's submitting herself to whatever His will is. And she says, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." This entire time, she has been under pressure, yet her response has been one of faith, one of patience, one of persistence and pursuit of God, not disgust, not rage, not frustration, not futility in giving up. She has remained faithful as she has been squeezed. The grace of God is coming out in her life. And what does Jesus do in verse 28? Jesus answers and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as your desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Jesus gave her a compliment. What was the compliment? "You have great faith." Do you realize she was given a compliment the disciples were never given? Jesus never said to His disciples, "You guys have great faith." But what did He say to them? "Oh, you of little faith." That was their compliment. In fact, when you look all through the New Testament, there is only two times when Jesus gave the compliment, "You're a person of great faith." You know what's interesting about both of those? They were both spoken to Gentiles. That sends goosebumps up and down my spine. It wasn't to the Jews. It wasn't to the Jews who had the commands and the promises and the principles of God, who knew everything. It was to two people who really didn't know anything, but they recognized that God is good and I need to trust Him. It was the Roman centurion of Matthew 8 who asked Jesus to heal his servant. And Jesus said, "I'll come to your house." And Jesus said, I'll come to the house. And He says, "You don't need to come. I'm a person of authority. You just say it. I know it'll be done." And Jesus said, "Oh, I haven't found such great faith in all of Israel." And then He says it again to this Gentile woman, "You have great faith." Why did Jesus put this woman through all this pressure? The pressure of silence, of conflict, of comparison, and of mystery. It's because he was trying to prepare his disciples. He knew coming up, there's going to be 4,000 hungry Gentiles. And yes, you fed 5,000 Jews just recently. But I want you to realize, he wanted his disciples to realize that this gospel message he is giving them is not to be confined to the Jews, but it's for all people. It's to the dogs, the people who are under the table, that the world looks at and says, you're not worthy, you're not good enough, that this messianic marriage supper of the Lamb is open to everyone. And to prepare his disciples, he had to put this woman through the pressure. He knew he was going to respond. He knew, but he had to take his disciples on this journey to realize that even those under the table are worthy to receive the grace of God. And God wants to use you and me to take his light to those who are under the table, to those who are outside the confines, that everyone has a place at the table of God. He wants us to expand our radius and influence our radius to lead. That's our theme for 2022, to lead all people to Christ. So this morning, you might find yourself under pressure. You might be saying, God, what's going on? God, how come you're not answering my prayer? How come I've got so much conflict? God, you're not doing for me what you've done for others. Friends, God is making something out of you. Respond when you're squeezed. Respond with faith. Respond with grace. Respond with hope. Respond with trust. Respond with persistence, patience, love, kindness. God, I'm going after you. I'm not giving up on you. I trust you, yes, Lord, to whatever you're doing in my life. Are you being squeezed this morning? What are you going to do? How are you going to respond? The choice is yours. The choice is mine. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray that you would help us to see that you're trying to make us, not to break us. That the events in our lives are not just about us, but about us being ready to reach more people. People at the table, people under the table. Use us, God. If you're here, whether you're watching with us online or you're live here in the house, how many would say life has been squeezing me? I'm under pressure. And I need to respond with faith, with humility, with grace. I need to trust God, His sovereignty in this moment. It's not just about God helping you, but He's preparing you for something greater to impact others. How many would say, I need God's help as I'm being squeezed? Just put your hand up high. We're going to pray for you in just a moment. Many hands going up. If you're at home and you're watching and you'd say, man, I'm being squeezed, I'm feeling that pressure, just go ahead, put your hand up. You can cry out to God, just as that lady with the demon-possessed daughter did. And she says, help me. If you need help this morning, just raise your hand saying, God, help me, Lord. Help me with what I'm being squeezed with. You can put your hands down. This morning, we've also talked about how God wants relationship with all, not just the Jews, but with every tribe, every language, every nation. God wants a relationship with you, whether you're here in the house or you're watching online. And maybe some of you would say, you know, I don't have a relationship with God. I know I'm not right with God. I'm not where I should be. You see, God loved you and me so much that He sent Jesus to die for our sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. We deserve to die and spend eternity in hell. But Jesus died to take our sin away, and at that gift, He offers us eternal life, a relationship with God. And we receive that relationship by confessing that we're sinners, and then by saying, yes, Lord, by surrendering our life, the leadership of our life to God, saying, God, you're in control. I'm going to let you be the Lord, the leader. And if you're here this morning, you'd say, I need that relationship with God. I sense I'm away from God. I need to be right with God. If you want that, if you just say, Craig, I got to confess my sin and turn the leadership of my life over to God, I want you to raise your hand. Just put your hand up and then you can put it back down. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? Thank you. On the side. Anyone else this morning? Anyone else today? And say, that's me. I need a relationship with God. Maybe you're watching online and you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on your heart, convicting you that you need to get right with God. Just go ahead and raise your hand right now. Just say, God, here I am. I'm saying yes, Lord. Anyone else in the house, you'd say, I'm saying yes, Lord. I'm giving my life over to you. You're in control. Anyone else before we move on this morning? As we wrap things up, I'm going to say a prayer, and I would like everyone to respond, repeat after me, and apply the portions of this prayer that relate to your life. Let's all pray together. Dear Jesus, I surrender my life. I say yes, Lord, to whatever you want to do. I respond with faith and with grace to the pressure I'm under. This squeezing won't break me. I will allow it to make me into whatever you want. God, I give you my fear, my frustration, my bitterness, my anger, my discouragement. Help me, Lord. I confess I'm a sinner. I need forgiveness. I turn away from my sin and I turn to you. You are now in charge of leading my life. I trust you, God. Thank you for your goodness to me. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.life or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.